Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Rabbit Hole Podcast. I am your host, CSD Fantasy. Hello, Fantasy Faithfuls, and welcome to another episode of the CSD... Oh, the Fantasy Rabbit Hole Podcast. My name is CSD Fantasy, or Carl Dunger, and I'm flanked by the one and only Nick Faber and the Coin Master, Matt, Man of the People. He is a better person than me. Last minute, Matt Williams. How are y'all doing?
Doing pretty good. You said your name again. Second show in a row, letting the identity be known.
I'm trying to actually let people know that CSD is just my initials, and I'm moving over to the Carl Dunger because I'm feeling like I'm saying Matt Williams and Nick Faber. I'm not saying Matt WI77, you know what I mean, and Nick Faber NFL. So I'm making that transition over to being more than a personality and more of an actual human being.
Oh, not a hologram. You are, in fact, here.
Yes, I do exist.
Very similar to the Mr. Doctor, you know, in front of you. Can always say Nick Faber NFL if you want, just so you know. It's almost like ending, you know. Like, instead of Dr. Nick Faber, it's Nick Faber NFL.
I thought your first name was Nick Faber, like with a dash, and NFL was your last name.
That's more than
it's not Nick Faber. It's Nick Faber.
Nick Faber. NFL.
Faber. The K is silent. It's just the C, really.
Faber.
Nick Faber.
You never know with these things. They can stick. Like, saying my whole name became such a thing in high school that even my mom started saying my last name as she spoke to me. Like, Carl Dunger. Carl Dunger. Carl Dunger. It became a whole thing. But we do have a new guest in the chat I wanted to welcome real quick before we get into today's show, because we do got the Nordic Football Guys podcast coming into the chat, and I wanted to give them a shout out. Check them out on Instagram and let us know in the chat more where they can see your podcast as well. It's super interesting. There are a couple of guys from Finland. A couple of them live in North Carolina here as well. And it's fun to see more Nordic people getting into football, and you're seeing how more the sport is becoming more and more globalized than it was like 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago for that matter.
I remember when I first started getting into the podcast, seeing Carl, as many of the listeners know, you were one of my first guest on my 10 in the Head podcast about 4 years ago when I was over in Spain getting into it. And of course, Carl, you were in Sweden at the time. You hadn't moved back to Atlanta, correct, at the time, I believe. So you were in your home country. And it was nice. It was awesome. I mean, you were probably the first person across the seas that I knew that was into fantasy. And now it's like part of my Brawl network that I'm affiliated with. They got a UK Brawl fantasy podcast out there, and a UK Brawl, like NFL, just non-fantasy. It's awesome. Like, there's a lot of cool things happening overseas that are coming up, and I love to see it. Way to go, boys!
Yeah, especially the UK has been big for a few years with them having games, but outside of that, when NFL Europe died down, it died a little bit with that. And since the hours to watch football are so different and difficult over in Europe, I'm glad that we're getting more and more awareness that it is a fun sport to watch if you got to know the rules. It's the same, like, if you grow up with another sport, certain rules just seem obvious until you get into the sport. And after that, I have friends who are like, why do you watch football? It's so many breaks. Like, it's not many breaks if you understand what's going on. It's the same as people watching baseball and feeling that it's slow unless you understand what's going on and stuff like that.
Both those arguments are, like, pretty understandable. Baseball is pretty slow. Even if you know what's going on, baseball is pretty slow. You have to be very intense into it and really know the in-depth pitches and the stats that are behind it. And, I mean, I love the game, but I can't really complain when someone's like, baseball is really slow. And it's like, yeah, it is. You're right. Especially if you're just going to, like, be a bystander fan. And football doesn't have a ton of breaks. Football has a plethora. What do you play, like, a total of 4 minutes in a game or something? I don't know what it is, but it's really slow. And NBA, the final 2 minutes are the worst 2 minutes in history, because you're just seeing free throw after free throw after free throw. It's the worst thing ever. I'm not going to complain about it, but I do think you're right. It's good to see everyone coming out.
Yeah, and we see not analytics. I can't speak today. Already subbed to the Nordic Football Guys podcast. Like they say here in the chat, they're based in Helsinki in Finland, and two of them are located in North Carolina and trying to grow and show the love that football has in other countries as well. So it's super excited to have y'all in the chat. Let me know if you stick around and not on analytics and Travis. Awesome to see you guys here already. We do have a fantastic show today. We do have a lot of news. So real quick, before we get into today's show, I would like to remind you to hit that like button. Please share on social media to help us get the word out there. Subscribe if you haven't done so. Check out csdfantasy.com for even more fantasy content. And please leave a review on your favorite source for podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. But now, Matt, are you ready? Because we're about to do the news drop.
The news.
The best news drop in the business. Thanks to Matt, Man of the People, Williams.
I should say I totally stole that from another show. Does that?
No, You didn't.
They're eventually going to call me out. But I was on their show, so I mean, they know.
Oh, okay, then fine. I've stolen so many little things. My dad always said, newly stolen is the best. That's just how I live my life. The only thing that I've actually created is my algorithm. Outside of that, it's just stealing.
Dominic Toretto lives his life one quarter of a mile at a time, and you like to steal every quarter mile at a time. So do what you need to do.
I'm more a Dwayne the Rock fan, so I'm kind of against the Toretto like part of that franchise. But we can go down a full Fast and Furious rabbit hole if we want to make another podcast. But you actually opened my eyes to this news item. I wasn't paying attention to this at all, Matt. Damian Williams opts out. And this opens up for Hilaire like crazy. You said he went, you're in a Raspall draft right now, and he went instantly
after the thing broke. Everyone, you know who got him in your Raspall draft? Anyone on the clock. That's who got him. Because it was basically around the time where a little before he would have normally went, and he just went everywhere. So, hey, what can you do? Hey, you know this is going to end terribly, right? The obvious news is this is great news. But this is not going to be LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy clone is going to come out of nowhere. He's going to ruin this for everyone. It's not going to be Darwin Thompson. Like, everyone's going to spend all their money on Darwin Thompson. He probably won't. It's just going to be some guy. Just some guy. He's going to come in and ruin this for everybody because it's the Chiefs. That's what happens. It's not going to work out. It's just not. But, hey, draft Clyde Helaire. You got to do it.
Yeah, you have to.
You got to do it. Where do you put him first round?
Early second. Early second. I'm not big on rookies, but early second.
I think right now, even though I said that, I think he's got to be first. Because whoever they bring in is going to suck. Spencer Ware, that's actually a perfect name to bring up, incidentally. But, I mean, they're going to run, right? I mean,
do they have to, though?
They're
one of the few teams that don't have to run.
Yeah, but they like Andy Reid. He kind of like, I think he has a contract with Satan. He has to run.
The contract with Satan to run the football. I thought that was Kyle Shanahan, who made a deal with the devil to put in your grandma at running back and she'll get 1,000 yards.
He was like, he was with the Eagles. He's like, God, I can't take Donovan McNabb. God, I want a new quarterback. And then Satan was like, hey, I can get you a quarterback. He's got to wait a couple years. Alex Smith out of there. Boom. It's like the Wishmaster where you get something good. Something bad happens. You get Mahomes. Boom. Alex Smith. It's got to take it out on Alex Smith.
Oh, that's evil to think about.
Hey, blame Andy Reid. Don't put it on me.
This is brand new news that nobody's ever broken before in the NFL, that Andy Reid made a deal with the devil to get Mahomes, but he had to give up Alex Smith's almost life.
All right, it's actually not true. He got Mahomes just for his soul. He actually traded Alex Smith for all those Hawaiian shirts. Lifetime supply of Hawaiian shirts, that's what he traded Alex Smith for.
Shout out Alex Smith for about to be making a comeback.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, like, I know. Did anyone incredible. See that show? Yeah. They did the – oh, man, that was – God, he like – man, he was like in the weeds real hardcore for a while there.
It was an E60 show all about Alex Smith's return – like not return, but I mean I guess return. And there was some – do not watch it if you're easy to throw up because it's gruesome. Real quick, though, I don't think Clyde Edwards-Hilaire was ever going to be affected by Damian Williams. Damian Williams has never been successful in the regular season. Why is this? Why is Clyde Edwards-Hilaire now all of a sudden getting this jump? If anything, he's going to get the same workload, and just whatever was going to go to Damian Williams will now go to someone else. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire does not need to be jumped up to a first rounder. That is such an exaggeration. I can't talk to you. That is ridiculous. That
agree to disagree on Damian Williams, what his role would have been.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire has always been my favorite player, too. As I've said, I believe on this podcast, I mocked him in January going to Kansas City. I knew this was going to happen. I thought he was going to be very successful, and I knew he was going to – he was being like underdrafted right now. Even with the hype, he was still being underdrafted. He was going to be successful. He still should be a mid-second-round pick, even with this news. Do not overjump at him. You now can take a flyer on a guy like Darwin Thompson if you want, but, Matt, as you alluded to, it'll be some random guy. And that's not going to be Darwin Thompson. That some random guy is already on their team and has shown bursts of excitement while on the Jets, but just never got it going and was always stuck behind a couple running backs that were very mediocre. I'm telling you, Elijah McGuire is going to be that random guy in redraft this year that is going to be a somewhat random, successful Kansas City Chief because he fits that perfect pass-catching opportunity. And he'll be able to run the ball through the tackles when needed.
He brought it up. We would have eventually, but he's must draft, actually, I think. If you're hurting, I think, at running back, because Clyde is a rookie. You don't know what's going to happen with them.
Yeah.
If he goes down, Elijah McGuire, let's just say Clyde went nothing. Let's say he's not injured. He opts out. I don't know why the hell a rookie would ever opt out. He's gone. And you're just left with who's on the team. Where's Elijah McGuire get drafted? Where's Darwin Thompson get drafted?
I'm still putting my money on Thompson. I mean, I'm still going to take a flyer on Thompson before I would Elijah McGuire. But I just truly do think by week 3 or 4, it's going to be McGuire all of a sudden being that guy. But I'm going to take my chances on Thompson. I think they care more about him. They are more invested in him than they are McGuire.
I think that he's more gadgety in terms of – I think they'd use them both. But I think Darwin would be more like the third back, you know, I mean the third down back. If they were the only two left on the roster, what round do you think they would go?
Third.
You think
the first one? It's Thompson, tough. I think the third.
Thompson and the third. Probably go in the third. McGuire would still be like a 9th, 10th, 11th round pick.
I think he'd jump up to like the 7th or something. Yeah, that's like a third round.
If you're hurting for running back, you might want to take these guys. And if you haven't drafted a running back in the first 3 rounds, you're probably hurting for a running back because the running back position is so limited. It thins out real quick. So if you're sitting there with 3 running backs come round 10, you're going to have to start taking flyers, and that's when these guys are going to be – they at least should be right on your radar with him. I don't think CH needs to be jumped up. I was sitting there on the clock when this happened, and I had the choice of Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, you know, Leonard Fournette, Kenyon Drake, Austin Eckler, or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I did not think Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be better than, you know, half of them. I still would like Josh Jacobs over Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year. I still think Miles Sanders is going to be better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year.
That ties perfectly into – hold on.
Can you just – like, where would you take – do you think – not what you guys would do. Do you think – just if you had to guess what the public would do, do you think that he ends up being behind them still? I think he jumps those two you just said. I agree with you, but I think the public jumps them above them.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to say, because Travis is saying in the chat that he would draft him over Jacobs, Chubb, and Henry and end of the first, and I think that's a reach. So I think the public might be trying to reach on CH. And tying back to this is ironic and funniest crap in the chat from not analytics. The comment is, for what it's worth, on Andy Reid runs, they ran 39.4% last year, 24th in the league. So not analytics is giving us analytics.
They had trash, though. Injured trash, really, right?
Yeah.
They had a trash can that was dented.
But they also have the absolute best quarterback in the league.
There has been one game that I've ever seen a team not even run the ball once in the first half, and I'm pretty sure it was when the Patriots put up like 35 on the Dolphins in the first half and literally just passed it in every single play in the first half and didn't run it once. I'm pretty sure that's the only time. You got to run the ball. Someone's gonna do it in Kansas City, and who knows if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to just step in and be Kareem Hunt. Are we maybe all just thinking like, oh man, we all have the Kareem Hunt jitters. We all just want it to be true. And so now we're going to overdraft expecting that, when you're going to pass on a guy like Josh Jacobs, who we've seen be.
Yeah, no, I'll much rather have Jacobs. Much rather have Jacobs than CH.
You know, Darwin Thompson's going to be in there for snap 1 of the NFL season. I could just smell the tilt from here. I'm not saying he'll be the guy, but he'll be there in for rep one, and everyone's going to be losing their shit.
we were talking earlier about losing my shit, Matt. We were talking real quick before the stream that about Kenny Golladay, that he went in your draft ahead, so you couldn't pick him off. Well, he's on COVID reserve now. How scared are y'all for the coronavirus and Kenny Golladay? Are we scared at all that it's happening now? Is it something that's going to affect his draft stock, do you think, Nick?
I mean, it's better now than September 13th. That's for darn sure. Kenny Golladay, TJ Hockenson, Amani Arore, something Elliott. I can't remember the last two guys, but five players on the Lions tested COVID-19. And that does not mean that they have COVID-19. They have been put on the COVID-19 list. Last I knew, at least, unless something came up. But like a couple hours ago, that they were on the list because they were in very close proximity or have got COVID. So I'm definitely not worried. I should have said this last week, but I've been thinking it all week. You can't panic when all this comes out, because this isn't going to be the only name that comes out that's going to be has fantasy relevancy. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in season. It's going to happen before the season. I would rather anyone get it before the season and hope that the floating rumors that once you get it, you seem to maybe not be able to get it again. Hope that that's true. Like, that's just me trying to will it to happen. So I would prefer to almost have like a chicken pox party, but have a COVID party, put them all in. No, obviously we don't want to do that. But I just, like, I would rather have Kenny Golladay get it right now. Hope everything is good. Hope he's asymptomatic, and in 2 weeks he's ready to go, and we're busting ass. We're ready for the season. Like, I think that's kind of best case scenario right now.
I'm going to toss you another question, Matt, completely unrelated to this, because there's so much news in the NFL this week that I want to get your opinion on so many things. Jamal Adams trade to the Seahawks. Is there one or two winners in this trade? In my opinion, there's two winners, and it's both the teams. I think, you can add Jamal Adams into.
He did not even get a contract out of this. Seattle told him, we'll bring you over, but you're getting nothing else. You're getting your current contract and nothing else. I think he just bit off more than he can chew. He wrote like checks his ass couldn't cash. He had to get out of there. He was looking real bad, and they're gone. The Jets made out. They got more for him than if none of this ever happened. What a haul. Like,
such a haul.
Full price haul. I mean, you do that even if you're competing. That's such a haul for Jamal Adams. Adams gets nothing out of this other than a chance to compete. And Seattle, I mean, they are ready to win. So, I mean, I think they overpaid a bit, but in their case, it's not, you know, they're later round pick. They can afford to do it. But the Jets had to trade him, though, which is pretty much the bottom line. Whether you want to argue the first round picks or later or not, it's two first round picks for a guy the entire league knew they had to trade. So, I mean, this is a brilliant return, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm actually, if you're just looking what the Seahawks got, and you just look at Jamal Adams and not what they paid, well, we can add in what they paid, because they've been drafting like idiots in the first round anyway. So it's basically tossing away Rashad Penny.
They did draft DK.
Okay, that was a second round pick? A third?
He was second round. Yeah, he was second round.
LJ Collier in the first round.
Yeah,
they probably should have taken DK in the first round.
Their first round picks have been
first round drafters I've ever seen in the NFL outside of the early 2000 Redskins and the mid 2000 Browns. Like,
what team? What was the first team?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I haven't heard of them.
The formerly known Skins. What do we call them now? Like, what do we
Washington football team?
Yeah.
Even when referring to like the era of the football team when they were formerly known as the, you know.
You know what? I didn't catch the thing where it was temporary, which, again, get your head out of your ass, pick a name. I thought that this was the name they picked. I thought I saw the thing, and they were just going to be the Washington. Because there was a logo, and they explained what they were doing. I'm like, why are you explaining this if it's never going to happen?
That's
like,
hilarious.
I thought they were going with that. I'm like, this is awful.
Did you hear? Oh, I'm sorry for interrupting. Did you hear the joke? I don't know if this is a common joke, but I heard it for the first time the other day that the Washington football team is changing its name because they want to disassociate with Washington. It's such a bad term to use with all the politicians there and everything. So they had to get that name change going.
Seahawks are the only Washington football team, and they're pissed. They're suing.
No, but I think the Seahawks just went up to – I mean, they're low-key Super Bowl contenders now, right? Like, almost favorites, in my opinion, in the NFC with that trade. They need a defensive help.
They're running situation for a team that relies so heavily on the run. It's a little up in the air for me to like maybe paint them with that brush if they're healthy for sure. But Carson, we're not totally sure. Penny's like a nothing. It's like it's and they got like 1 million tight ends. They could be. I mean, getting Adams over, I believe I read that they can't. They actually have to release a couple of people to allow this to even happen, right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind that. Like. Jamal Adams is that good, in my opinion.
Oh no,
like,
no, I agree. I was just saying that you know it's tough to name someone like a favorite or anything. I think that the running game is suspect. I don't. If I had to put money on it, I'd expect it not to be healthy this year, and I think that could be a major downfall for them. Or we finally get one season where they rely on Russell instead of the running game, and we all realize that the running game was stupid all along, and Russell Wilson just breaks some records.
He is amazing though. Like, and he's super fun to watch, and just with the weapons they have in the air game now too. Like, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with it. Just let Russell Wilson do his thing and show that. Oh, hold up, wait. He's a top three quarterback in the league. Like, yes, he is. He's been that. You just don't treat him that way.
It'd be funny if this short sample size, like, because he looks elite, but he hardly passes. Like, as far as his completion percentage and everything. But imagine if he's just that guy, no matter what the volume. How cool that would be over a whole year with DK and I can't even think of his counterpart over there.
Tyler Lockett.
I wanted to say Doug Baldwin. I wish Doug was back. Yeah. But yeah, Tyler Lockett.
Percy Harvin.
He's trying to come back.
Yeah, just throw in every
probably,
previous.
He's probably still fast as hell.
There was some video of him when he was trying to make an NFL comeback just a couple months ago. He is racing.
Yeah.
You see the TO race with Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
T.O. can run still, like, holy crap.
You probably don't have Devin Funchess in the news, but Percy Harvin should go to Green Bay.
Or Funchess out. There goes any red zone. Give me all the A.J. Dillon chairs now.
The last two things I just wanted to mention for the show, that Nate Solder has opted out, making the Giants' offensive line even more terrible, as well as Lane Johnson has tested positive for coronavirus. Last thing, like we did last week, percentage of confidence that the league will start on time. I am lower this time. I'm going to be at 75%. Nick?
Like 90%, 95%.
And Matt?
40%.
40? Okay, a little higher than you said in the chat then. I think you were down to 20 there for a second.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because I gave an answer last week, and Nick was like, all right, what are the chances we just start on time, not finish the season? I think the chances of this season going full are actually 1%.
The entire full season is 1%?
Yeah, there's no way that this thing gets played to a conclusion.
I think it does. I just think it's going to take longer than we expect. I do think.
If they don't bubble, they're screwed.
I don't think the NFL really cares about the integrity of the game, in all honesty.
You could have just stopped there. I don't really think the NFL cares about it and just left it at that.
I had to make sure integrity was
there. They're going to hire doctors to just tell people they're healthy. They're not testing anyone.
I just think that the NFL knows that they can send out anyone on that field and fans will go crazy for it. Betting will happen. People will tune in. People will still watch. People will still play fantasy. And, in fact, it may make fantasy even more appealing to maybe a little bit more of the diehards like us. I don't think the NFL is just going to sit here and cave in to COVID. I really, really don't. I honestly don't even know if NFL would have caved in to COVID. It broke down. Like it did in March during an NFL season. Like, I don't know. NFL kind of just gets to do what they want, and I'm going to be pretty shocked if they decide not to start this and or finish this season. But what they need to do is adopt a bubble. Like, I'm not saying the bubble is 100% safe, guaranteed, but, man, it really seems like the NBA, the NHL, and the MLS literally have it down pat. Like, the MLS last I saw had 2 weeks straight of no COVID. I don't know what the NBA is at, but I'm pretty sure I haven't heard a lick about anyone having COVID over there that's in the bubble. Same with the NHL. Like, But then you hear about the MLB, which actually is doing okay, and they're and everyone's like, "Oh, the MLB screwing up. The MLB fucking up again." And it's like,
it's basically just one team.
It's only one team, and the MLB is continuing. People are still playing. They knew this was going to happen. I don't know if they knew it was going to happen.
It is going to end up being about three times the amount of personnel for an NFL bubble, though, between players and everything. That's a lot of people.
That's why I was saying last week you should have started constructing an entire huge football dome with a hotel.
Like the Olympics where they build a whole freaking city,
We don't even need to build that. There's places like that that's done already.
That's what I'm saying. You can go to the desert and whip this up, put AC all in it, and you got a hotel like right there. I'm telling you, we could have done
it. Like, you could have done this in a college that's like, oh, we're doing online classes. Perfect. We're going to use your entire campus and just play a game each day like you were saying last time.
Just empty Texas or something.
Yeah, pick the small, the second largest state. Don't pick one of the small ones.
We want open spaces and a dome. That's what we need.
They should go to like up north Canada where there isn't anyone.
They won't let you in Canada. They're not let sports teams play there.
South Dakota. We go like go to South Dakota where nobody is. I don't even think COVID has heard of South Dakota yet. Like, I just put every player in South Dakota in this one random town and get everyone out of there that's willing to move, pay them some money, and then, like, I don't know, build some fields real quick, you know?
Can you imagine all these personalities in the NFL? You're going to go spend the next several months in a bubble in North Dakota.
Yeah, but, okay, so if somebody told you, Matt, that, like,
it's like,
okay.
Oh, is that, we can go see Mount Rushmore. Wrong, that's South Dakota. You're in North Dakota, even less to do.
Argo, baby.
think about it this way. Somebody tells you, like, we're going to make sure that you don't catch this deadly illness and pay you millions of dollars to play your favorite game for the next 7 months. I mean, which one do you pick?
Oh no, they're gonna go. They'll just leave North Dakota. They're just not gonna stay there.
Yeah, but they do the NBA.
You know, in the NBA, they had a bubble. One player, I can't remember his name. He said that he had to go do something with family. He was videotaped at a strip club. His family was a strip club.
But then he wasn't allowed back in for 14 days.
There's a lot. There's like over 3,000 people you're going to try to bubble. It's like, but that's a lot to ask.
Bubble, you have to wait 2 weeks to come back in unless you test every single day that you're outside of the bubble, which is what the NBA is doing. It's doable. And yeah, it's going to be crazy. There's going to be a lot of people. There's a lot more personnel than the NBA. The NBA didn't even bring all their teams. You know what I mean? NHL isn't even bringing all their teams. I get that. But I'm just saying, if we would have started constructing something in March, we would have been good right now.
Flag football, like 5-on-5, just alter the rules a bit.
I haven't been there myself, but it's been super fun to listen to sports radio here in Atlanta over the last couple of days because people have been justifying with, well, Magic City does have some pretty darn good hot wings, the strip club he went to. Like, people are actually like
– the food, man.
Like, I can see it. I mean, like, have you been COVID, hot wings.
Golly.
It's hilarious, but we do also have a weekly topic. We're almost at the 30-minute mark, so let's move over to the NFC South.
Tom Brady.
Yes, the Tom Brady division. We will be breaking down each division moving forward as we have done for the last 2 weeks. And today we will discuss the best fantasy players in the NFC South and what we expect from them. And like we did last week, we're going to be focusing on one team's players as the starting point and move from there. I've chosen the Atlanta Falcons as the starting team, as I am a hometown fanboy, even though I'm a Cowboys fan. And let us start with the running back position and Todd Gurley in the context of the NFC South with Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Rojo, and Vaughn. Where does Todd Gurley rank? Matt, let's start with your take on Todd Gurley and where does he rank in this division?
Well, he's third. If you're factoring in draft price, he's fourth. He's not worth the price he's being taken at. He has honestly a realistic ceiling as high as anyone on the Buccaneers, because I just don't kind of believe in the perceived ceiling he has in Atlanta. He already has the injury history, and The one thing with like the red zone is like the Falcons spread the ball around unlike any other team. I mean, the leaders on the team, 16 for this is targets, not rushes, obviously, but 16, 15, 10, 10, 8. I mean, that includes Russell Gage in there. I mean, they love to spread the ball around. So for Gurley to kind of have the amount of volume, I think, necessary to make him like an easy choice. Yeah, he's third, but not a third I'll be interested in taking just because other people are probably going to still be higher on him than necessary. I mean, but he's like a distant third. It's like, you know, two golds and like a bronze and then whatever the Buccaneers are.
I think I agree with you to a certain extent. I think that Todd Gurley is right next to Rojo in value, or Vaughn, I would say, in value. He is getting a little pricey at this point. When he was going in the middle of the third, I thought the value was great for Gurley. He's now going in the late second, which is a little early in my opinion. But if he falls into the third, then we're starting to talk value. I know CH is now like a pick after Gurley. And I think that might be a little high for him considering what he did last year. But considering what Atlanta is and what they do on the offensive side, it's going to be a ton of opportunity still for him. So I think he is – it's like you said, it's gold, and bronze. But I don't think that the value in Tampa is that amazing.
Oh, if there was one guy, it would be. But, yeah, it's split between – if you have to pick between the two, they crush each other.
Nick, who do you got? Is it a clear-cut winner for you with McCaffrey over Kamara as well?
Yeah, I mean, Kamara's right there. He's number two for sure. I think he's a step behind CMC. We all saw that last year. Todd Gurley, easily third in this division. There is no – that he's cemented right in. He's way overdrafted right now. Anyone who drafts Todd Gurley, you have done just fucked yourself. It's like, what running back has been good with the Falcons after Kyle Shanahan left? Was it Devontae Freeman's 800 yards and 6 touchdowns in 2017? Was it the Tevin Coleman's like 4 touchdowns and 800 yards in 2018? Was it Ito Smith's 300 yards last year? There is what Falcons running. Why do we think that the Falcons running back position is this glorified gold position? If anything, Hayden Hurst is going to be more successful as a newcomer than Todd Gurley.
How about just the way they set everything up? Devontae Freeman had 20 red zone rushes, converted 2 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Brian Hill had 10. He converted 1.
It's the biggest lie in the NFL right now. Do not buy into Todd Gurley. We have seen the injury problems. We've seen how he got even fantasy successful last year was because he was used so much in the red zone and was so successful in that red zone. I don't know if it's going to be that way in Atlanta. I'm not buying into him. I think he's just a few weeks away from injury.
Devil's advocate. So you're saying he was successful in the red zone, huh? And that the Falcons were unsuccessful in the red zone. But they have a better offensive line than the Rams. So Gurley was able to be successful in the red zone with a terrible offensive line. If he moves to Atlanta and there's 20 open red zone carries, that seems like a pretty good synergy in my book then, that a guy who's good at scoring touchdowns with an offensive line that's better than the one he had before and a lot of carries in the red zone. That sounds like a pretty good recipe for touchdowns.
Now, so you're missing the whole point of it, though. So what you're doing right now is you're like, well, his offensive line was unsuccessful, and our offensive line is better. Thus, A plus B equals C, right? No, man, look at the coaching. Sean McVay is a way better schemer in red zone plays than the Falcons offensive coordinator or play caller will ever be. I can promise you that. The Rams are way better at functioning and putting players in a spot to succeed, especially in the red zone. We've seen
he had 46 red zone carries.
Wait, what?
Gurley had 46 red zone carries. And Devontae Freeman had 20. Gurley almost had as many touchdowns as Freeman had work in the red zone.
Like, there's just not going to be the opportunities for him. Plus, there's going to be a more breakout in Calvin Ridley. And we know that's going to come in the red zone. We know Julio's still there. We'd like to think Hayden Hurst is going to be somewhat a mention. Todd Gurley in the fourth round is a good draft pick. Todd Gurley in the third round is bad. Todd Gurley in the second round is dumb.
Criminal.
He's probably, though, if you wanted to give him a plus, maybe the least talented backfield as far as competition goes of anyone. So if you, there is that where even if he's not great, he could get just force fed volume. If he can stay healthy, even if he's not Todd Gurley, it should still be there, but his draft price is still not adequate.
Yeah. And that's all I think he's going to be like, he's drafted as RB 14 right now. And I think his ceiling where he should, like where he could end up at the end of the year is RB 15 is what I've said. I think he's going to be like finish the season as almost exactly RB 15, 16. That's where I think he's going to finish the season. He might not have games that are going to win you games, which is a problem if you're being drafted in the second round. You can't have a guy that you're drafting to be a superstar finish as RB 16 with 16 games of average. That's not going to win you any leagues. And I'm all for safety in my scoring and stability. I talk about this all the time. But you need the games where your top draft pick just beats the shit out of your opponent and wins you two games. And he probably won't do that. I'm saying he'll probably finish 15, 16, but it's going to be one of those years. I know we have Bob Long on here and we have Caldwell as well about stability. He's going to be one of those players that you look at like, how did I have a top 16 back and he never finished as RB1 like more than 1 week?
Here's the thing is like, what are the in your brain? What do you think the odds are? Todd Gurley has more weeks being a running back one, or more weeks that Tevin Coleman outproduces Todd Gurley in Miami? I mean, I think the answer is Todd. I mean, I'm not saying I believe in Tevin Coleman, but I think that there's a better chance of Tevin Coleman outproducing Gurley any given week than there is Gurley jumping up back into elite status.
Was it for Miami?
Yeah, not Miami. San Francisco.
I thought Coleman's. Oh no, I'm sorry.
Who's that? Breida.
Sorry.
Yeah. So who are we talking about, Coleman or Breida?
Yeah, I'm talking about Breida. My bad.
Oh, I'm way more into like the upside of Breida.
So I think that's just kind of the issue with Gurley. It's that people well behind him theoretically have the opportunity to outperform him on a weekly basis. Not that it's safe, but that's the whole.
Yeah. Issue. No, the problem with Breida is that he might miss 8 games.
Well, yeah, I didn't mean that.
Yeah,
like, I'll put my stamp of approval on him.
I'll still do. I still do because I think it's a great value where you can grab Breida late on in drafts. But I think we exhausted this position for the NFC South. We have CMC, Kamara, Gurley-ish, and whoever in Tampa. Real quick, I think Vaughn.
Do not draft Ronald Jones. Do not think Joe is going to be successful with Tampa Bay. It'll be Keyshawn Vaughn.
I mean, you said don't draft him. I think he can. Don't draft him expecting anything. Like it'll get to a point. He should be drafted.
Well, he's
like, don't target him. Draft him if it's like shit.
Yeah, exactly. If he's in the what's he going right now? 7th round, Carl. You got it right in front of you, or no?
Yeah, Jones. That's Aaron. He's going 605. No.
Ronald Jones is going 605.
Like 6th round, 5th pick.
Yeah. No, I know. I 605. I know what you meant.
You know what that is, Matt? Have you ever played fantasy before?
who's going right after him?
It's Damian Williams, but that's a little skewed. Yeah. So James White. Seven picks later.
I'd actually rather have Ronald Jones than James White, but that's totally separate.
That entire team's
opting out. They're going for it for next.
You'll
year.
Definitely want Darius Geis above Ronald Jones, though. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he goes like 10 picks later.
I think so. I'd rather have Corey Dillon. AJ Dillon. Corey Dillon, where is he?
Bring him back.
But you love Darius, right?
Yeah, Darius, yes.
Oh, he's good.
I probably won't have too many shares where he's going. But you know, if he falls, yeah, I'm all over it.
He's like 708, 709, dude.
That's great.
Well, it'll depend because I'm usually set at running back. And by then, I'm probably still looking to stack wide receivers, and there's some decent ones. So I want him. I just don't think it's going to fall that way for me. He'll be like, there's always a couple players each year where you want them. It just doesn't happen because of the way they go.
Yeah, and that's super difficult. And Calvin Ridley, he's been one of those for me. I'm super high on Calvin Ridley, but he just does not come where, like, he comes in the second round, third round, where I'm looking at other players, and I just have not been able to draft him in any mock draft so far.
Kenny Galladay, I want him. I will not be gaining any shares. I know it. Yeah, there'll always be someone overdrafting him over me. I just know it.
It just doesn't add up, and it's a super interesting position group here for the NFC South with Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Michael freaking Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. Like, it's so stacked. Russell Gage? No, okay. It's such an interesting group, and where they're being drafted, there's no clear-cut number one, in my opinion, who you should be like. If we're ignoring value, just for the sake of it, I'm having Julio as my second after Michael Thomas and Chris Godwin as after Julio, if we're just ignoring value completely. After that, Julio going before Chris Godwin, like six picks ahead of him, that seems a little rich for Julio over Chris Godwin. I have them that tied to each other.
Well, Julio, though, is like you can write his production down in pen. Godwin, we saw it 1 year. I don't think anyone's doubting him, especially with the amount people are doubting Evans. But I think Julio's worth it just because he's like about as non-risk as you can get, you know, until he's not. It'll happen 1 year. But if I'm drafting Julio, I'm like, great, mark it down. Julio's awesome. Godwin, I'm still like, I think this is going to be good. I'm not positive it's going to be good.
But are you six picks more comfortable with Julio over Godwin?
I'm definitely DJ more confident over Godwin more than I am Julio over Godwin, if that makes any sense.
And then
I think Godwin going as far over more as he is more a little more ridiculous than Julio going over Godwin.
Yeah, he's going a full round over DJ Moore right now.
I think
and you can get Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore in the fourth. Like, to me, the value with those two are just outweighs the value of any of the other wide receivers. I mean, not Michael Thomas. I'm still getting Michael Thomas in the first round. Like, I'm not, no doubt. No doubt in my mind.
The volume, it's hard. Even with all the people try to bring him down with their stats, he's the only stat that matters is he catches every ball thrown his way. And Drew Brees is still there. And it's like, if you're in PPR, he's like, you know, his floor is a ceiling.
Yeah, his floor is the ceiling.
His floor is above your ceiling. That's where his floor. He's stomping on it. Your ceiling where you're hearing the stomping, that's Michael Thomas's floor.
He's on the penthouse and you're down in the basement.
Yeah.
But it's so much talent in the NFC South. But are y'all okay with me locking in Michael Thomas as number one? Please say yes.
I think you can flip a coin between him and Julio, but you got to say Thomas. If you're being fair, you have to put Thomas one.
Yeah, and way less competition, as you said, because I do believe that Calvin Ridley is going to be pretty darn amazing this year, and you can get him in the fourth. To me, like, him with DJ Moore are the second and third greatest value in the division if you're drafting wide receivers. Otherwise, you have to spend early second on Julio and a mid second on Godwin, a early third on Evans, and I can't wait till late fourth to get Calvin Ridley. Like, who here believes that Mike Evans is going to outscore Calvin Ridley by the end of the year? You believe that, Nick?
I think it'll be close. I think the value makes it. You know, tips me to Ridley. But if we're just putting everything even, yeah, if you're making me bet, I'd say Evans still takes it.
Still outscores Ridley?
Well, he still has Julio to deal with.
Yeah, but he got Godwin and Gronk. And
Roddy White kind of gave the, you know, turned it over to Julio, and eventually Julio is going to start sliding it to Ridley. But I'm not necessarily sold that'll be this year. Evans is. And I really am not sold on Evans, to be honest. I mean, I'm not going to draft him once, but if I had to bet, I'd say Evans is certainly who I'd bet over Ridley right now.
There is a lot to talk about when it comes to the wide receivers. First off, Carl, at the very beginning of this, did you say Michael Thomas was just a better all-around NFL fantasy or NFL wide receiver than Julio Jones?
For fantasy.
He meant counting stats. Going here strictly accounting here.
Yeah, I think Julio Jones is the best receiver the league has seen since Calvin Johnson.
A lot of Julio's problem is the fact that Calvin Ridley happens to be there.
Yeah, and like
that's not going to hurt Julio. It's not going to hurt Julio. Having two successful players is
going to You say it's not going to hurt Julio, but if Ridley wasn't there, that would be fantastic for Julio. So I think it does hurt Julio, right?
Yeah, and then 185 targets versus 157.
I think having without having a second wide receiver, we saw Julio Jones get shut out of the end zone many, many, many games. Calvin Ridley being there is not going to hurt him. The takeaway of the amount of targets is not going to hurt Julio. We know what Julio is going to do. As Matt said, you can put that down in pen, and that's guaranteed. Julio will be the third best wide receiver in the league this year. You assume it's Michael Thomas for sure, and then that second's going to play out. When it comes to Calvin Ridley and Michael Thomas or Mike Evans, Ridley's way better than Mike Evans in fantasy purposes this year. Evans, again, the better wide receiver, though. But you don't want to touch them. You don't want to touch any of these guys because, as I've said, you don't want to start drafting a wide receiver until the fourth round. These are all the guys that Matt was saying. They just don't fall into the spot where I would draft them. That's any wide receiver in the first three rounds because you should not be touching a wide receiver in the first three rounds. It doesn't matter how good Julio could be. It doesn't matter.
I could take Julio. I think you take Julio if you have other like-minded people in your draft and he falls to mid-second. I think he's actually the last elite wide receiver that I probably could end up with because he seems to be the guy that like could theoretically fall.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not saying that an official butthole, hilarious, by the way. And Nick, like the point you're making about Ridley here, and Julio, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm looking more what Michael Thomas and his targeting and what I said, 185 versus 157. Julio is not getting 185 targets. And I'm not so sure that that's because of Ridley or because of Hayden Hurst or because of Austin Hooper. He's just not getting 185 targets. Michael Thomas is getting freaking 185, and he's coming down with 180. Like, maybe not 180,
Think Julio gets? Julio had 145, Ridley 101. Hooper had 90. We all assume there's no way that Hurst is getting 90. And then Todd Gurley, we're not exactly sure what to expect out of him. Russell Gage had 60. Freeman, for argument's sake, he had 70 last year. Like, what do we think? Hooper being gone, do you think that offense will change in favor of the wide receivers a lot? Or
165 to Julio. And Ridley gets a huge bump,
Like 120?
I think 185 with Michael Thomas last year was due to a part that Drew Brees missed five games and Bridgewater peppered him just as much, if not more than Brees. I think if this gets to Julio 165 targets and Mike Thomas 175 targets, I think if you're in a PPR league, sure, I'll say Michael Thomas is going to be better than Julio. But if you're in a half-point PPR, which I'm hoping that everyone is, I don't think it is just set in stone that Michael Thomas is better than Julio Jones. Just because he had 35 more targets last year doesn't mean that he's going to be a moon away from Julio this year. Like, it's not that set in stone. Julio is guaranteed. Michael Thomas will get these targets for sure, and he's going to be good. And again, in PPR, I'll take him number one. But in half-point PPR, I would absolutely have no problem being devil's advocate for Julio. But again, I'm not drafting either of them. I don't think anyone should. Unless they fall like ridiculous.
But so like you're saying Julio could be better than Michael Thomas, but it's just you're mainly just trying to stay away from wide receivers or like. Yeah,
that's it. I'm not going after any of these wide receivers early. I mean, when it comes to like what, where's Evans going? Fourth round, third round? I still wouldn't be drafting him.
Third.
Moore's going Evans. Fourth round. I think Matt hit it right on the head. There you go. You wait to the fourth round, you get Matt Moore who is just as much.
Don't draft Matt Moore, everybody.
Oh, Matt Moore. Not in the fourth round. No.
Matt Holmes opt out. You want to get yourself some Matt Moore. I can promise you that right now. But, okay, I mean DJ Moore in the fourth round, yeah.
Gardner
but,
Minshew has spoken.
Hey, well, people forget, like you're talking about targets here, like 100 for Ridley. Nice. Curtis Samuel, as crappy as his season went, with the, you know, the bad throws he was seeing. You know, I don't even forget. He had over 100 targets himself. Robbie Anderson is in town. He's going to obviously be like a bomb threat. They had two guys over 130 targets, and neither of them were Curtis Samuel, who still had 100 targets. Greg Olson's gone. I don't know what the new offense is going to look like at all, but it's just another reason why, you know, DJ Moore could be phenomenal if they're fading away from Samuel, which most people assume they will a little bit. You know, he's such a good value.
Quick dump offs to DJ Moore, just over and over and over again. Like,
if you had to put a bet, wouldn't you say McCaffrey is his workload's coming down? Can't have 3 years in a row of this.
I did just write about that, and I did project it down somewhat, but not as to the point where I'm like, oh, that's a big drop off. Because I think they're gonna ride him into the ground.
Well, there's a difference, right? We're not saying bet against Christian McCaffrey, but I think it's another thing you can kind of bake into more. Like, they could take it away from Samuel. They could take it away from McCaffrey. Like, there's a narrative here for DJ Moore to be the best wide receiver of this division. I wouldn't bet on that either. But it's there. It's there for him.
Also, I think the narrative to be pushed in that Ian Thomas can easily jump up and be the best tight end in this division. And I would absolutely play devil's advocate and argue against Cook, Gronk, Howard, whoever you want to throw in there, Hayden Hurst. Like, I think Ian Thomas was a very successful tight end in Indiana. He was training with Greg Olsen. He showed a glimmer of a big promise last year, and now we get Teddy Bridgewater, baby. It's going to be Mr. DJ Moore, CMC, and Ian Thomas all day long with a few Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson sprinkled
in. Seven-yard completion.
I had so many Ian Thomas shares last year. I'm still bitter. Mm. I can't believe Greg Olsen stuck it out.
Go back.
Actually super excited that you made the segue, Nick, to the tight end position. That was perfect of you, because the tight end position is interesting.
It's not even close. Look at Madden. Gronk's a 95.
Yeah, you have to draft Gronk. Like, you have to get him if he's 95 on Madden. Like, it's that easy.
It's not even close.
No, but I'm not drafting Gronk at all. It's anybody drafting him in this.
I agree with Nick. I'm not drafting a single person here except Ian Thomas. I'm not even looking their way. They're not targets of mine at all. There's definitely more interesting people for cheaper.
I'll take a look. Right? If Cook wants to fall real deep, if Cook wants to drop down to the 10th and I didn't get my Mark Andrews, George Kittle, or Travis Kelce early, like I'm trying to do in every draft, then I'll take a look at Cook. But I would much rather have Ian Thomas with my last pick in the draft than Jared Cook with my 10th pick. I don't think Cook's going to be that much better Ian Thomas, and I think they both will be able to provide consistent points, which is all you really look for in a tight end if you're not getting one of the top three.
Yeah, and definitely Ian Thomas, I think, consistent in PPR. He's going to be consistent in PPR. I'm very sure of that. Like I said, with the dump-offs, Teddy Bridgewater's air yards is super low if you're looking at his averages. So he loves to throw short dump-offs. That's why I have DJ Moore so highly ranked as well, because he does that super well, and then he has a lot of yards after completion. But the tight end position, Hayden Hurst is going way early right now, like the 7th. You can't tell me that I'm going to draft Hayden Hurst in the 7th.
People think Cooper's targets are just being like handed to him like a an edible arrangements basket. It's just not – that doesn't happen that way, folks.
Yeah, and it's almost the exact same argument as the Madden rating.
Nick doesn't like edible arrangements. Look at his face. He hates chocolate-covered pineapple.
I hate chocolate-covered fruit. Get the fudge away from me. I don't need my sweet fruit with this chocolate. Stop it. Just stop it.
Just get out of season fruit, then it'll be bad fruit dipped in chocolate.
Do you like yogurt covered stuff?
Ew, I hate yogurt. If I wanted sour cream, I'd eat a taco. Get yogurt out of here.
Yogurt covered banana.
Some bullshit. I'm getting muted over here.
Oh, you're lagging, Nick.
I'm not lagging on my end. Hey-o.
If you're lagging on your end, you'd have a problem. Hey. You're looking at your own live feed.
Anyways,
you're what?
Chocolate ball, never mind.
Lagging on your what?
What?
On you're looking at your own what?
Live feed. He can't. Oh. He wouldn't lag on his own screen.
Oh, okay.
If I want to lag on my own screen,
go back to the yogurt, Nick. Do you like yogurt covered like bananas and nuts and stuff?
No. I mean, I guess
in the show notes,
covered pretzels.
Nick loves yogurt nuts.
Those white yogurt. What are they? I can't remember what they call yogurt pretzels. Whatever they are, those are good. Those are good. Rose gold.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
But no fruit. No fucking fruit.
I just like just fruit.
You want chocolate covered cucumbers? All right, here you go, man.
I don't know. Just like cut up some fucking strawberries and some blueberries. It tastes good as is.
Yeah, dude.
I don't need any kind of other additions.
This is what you get on the fantasy rabbit hole.
pizza. Have you ever had – by the way, National Lasagna Day today, so shout out any lasagna makers or eaters out there. Also, have you ever had a fruit pizza where you do a sugar dough cookie and then you put like yogurt on it and then you put all the fruit on it and then you cut it up like a pizza? So you eat it like a pizza, but it's a sugar dough cookie with like whatever, Cool Whip or yogurt. I don't know, cream cheese. I don't know, whatever delicious
sounds
shit.
It sounds horrifying.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, my God. I want some right now.
Oh, that's disgusting. No.
You're crazy.
You ever see the air, another quick thing from Arizona Diamondbacks baseball team? You can get a at their stadium a hot dog roll, but instead of a hot dog, it's a churro, and then there's ice cream and whipped cream and crap on it, and that's that they sell that.
I want
that. Another stadium. They have a hot dog that the bun is cotton candy, but then there's an actual hot dog beef, and nerds are on top of it. Like
I've had a grilled cheese with donuts as the bread with smoked Gouda inside the two, like in the middle, and then two donut bread as like the bread. And you dip it in like this sweet, like caramelized onion and tomato soup. Oh, it was so freaking good. It was
great. How are y'all still alive after this?
Hold on. I'm not eating this stuff I just mentioned.
Sure. I did eat that.
Hold on. I will say I would eat the churro dog a million times over before I'd eat the cotton candy hot dog. Yeah, oh my god.
I would have no problem trying anything, so I would definitely see what it tasted like. Would you put mustard or ketchup
on the cotton candy hot dog? I think I would go with hot sauce, something that would numb my tongue.
Okay, there you go.
I'm not gonna taste any of this.
We have one more position group to get through before we sign off for today, and it's the quarterback position. I got Matt Ryan number one. I do not want Tom Brady at the price you have to pay for him. I think that's an oversell. Matt Ryan, usually we talked about this earlier as well, usually gets disrespected a little bit and starts falling in some leagues. He's going in the seventh right now. Tom Brady in the eighth. Drew Brees in the seventh, just ahead of Matt Ryan. And then lastly, we have Teddy Bridgewater at 1406. But I'm not drafting him at all. So I'm the only one that I would consider drafting is Matt Ryan if he fell 2-3 rounds into the ninth.
Yeah, Matt Ryan is definitely the only draftable quarterback in here unless Drew Brees is going to be your last pick of the draft, which I did get in one of our mock drafts and like the May mock, I think, that we did. That's not the worst thing in the world. I would never complain if you decided to take Drew Brees instead of Jared Goff or someone like that. Like,
would we really be that surprised if Teddy was that close to Brees at the end of the year?
I'd be pretty shocked.
I think Brees always has the floor to lean back on.
No, I'm not saying that he will. He's not. But he does have a lot of weapons. Brees, you know, is older. He got injured last year. Look at Bridgewater. I mean, I'm just saying that where he's going, you're just saying he can't be drafted. You're drafting him dead last. If I completely missed on quarterback and I'm there, I'm not really sad. If that meant I loaded up my wide receivers and running backs like I should have and I got a decent tight end and this is what I'm stuck with, I'm not too horrible. I'd much rather have done that and then have Brees or Brady. Like, I don't really see the ceiling there. Like, the floor, I agree. But
you can get Ryan Tannehill at the same pick if you want.
I don't know.
Derek Carr. No? I got dude. There is 30 there sure. There are 30 quarterbacks in the NFL I'd rather have than Teddy Bridgewater.
He's yeah, well, Jared Goff is going like a round before him, I believe. So, I mean, that's really all you have to.
And I'm super down with Derek Carr over Teddy. And I'm like, I love that Bridgewater went to Carolina. That was my whole dream for scenario for him and for that team. And I still wouldn't draft him. I just really want him to go there for DJ
Moore. You know what it is? I'm up here in Philly, so I actually went to a few Temple games. I am fascinated by what this offense could be. I mean, I'm not really overly sold on Bridgewater. I just, the coach and the system, like, it could, you know, I mean, you know, obviously the running back's going to be a big part of it, though. But I'm kind of excited about the offense. So I almost want to share just so I can, like, have a share. Because it's the only one you can guarantee yourself to have. Everyone else is expensive.
Yeah, and I think, like, I mean, if you want to do that, so, like, I'm going to play the fun card and say – if you want to do that for the fun, I'm all for doing that. Like fantasy football, you're supposed to win and you're supposed to have fun. There's like,
I would pair him with DJ Moore and just like laugh your ass off when that pays off to your league mates. Like, look at the stack I put together for free.
Yeah, like sometimes it's just fun to draft what you want, if that makes sense. Like, just make a team with freaking, I don't know. I'm real high on Deontay Johnson. Let me just go the people that I like. Like, let me get Deontay. Let me get Teddy as the quarterback. Running backs is going to be Matt Breida and Nick Chubb, like plays that I like to watch, and just have a team that I want to see what happens. Like, I'm not going to bet $200 on this or go all in with my coworkers on the team of, I just want to draft them because I want to watch these people play on Sunday. Like, you can do that too and have a ton of fun with it. I did it 1 year just to prove.
You can also watch those players without drafting them, and then when they don't do,
you gotta believe in them to a degree. Yeah.
They're doing
bad. There is a scenario where Bridgewater could do well. He does have a lot of weapons. I mean, it has to play out a certain way, but I mean, we know what Samuel could be. We've seen what Robbie Anderson could be.
Robbie Anderson is barely a weapon.
He could he's usually the number one.
It doesn't matter how good that wide receiver is. If Teddy Bridgewater's throwing that deep ball, you're not going to be a weapon. Curtis Samuel's not going to be a weapon. We saw that, and he is not successful. It's not a plethora of weapons for Teddy Bridgewater. You have Christian McCaffrey, who we just said is going to
retire. Way too worked up burying a quarterback nobody wants.
Thomas was good at wide receiver, didn't mean Drew Brees was good at quarterback. DJ
Bridgewater could be the QB12, not the QB4.
Teddy Bridgewater could be the QB23 if he's lucky.
If he's lucky, oh, yeah. Who do you have at the two? Because I think we obviously agree who one and four is. Who do you like as the two?
Brady.
I'm
going Brady.
I take Brady just because I think they might have no other choice but to allow Brady to score.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara is still pretty good.
Breeze's floor is nice, man. I think Kamara catches a lot more touchdowns this year. I think we're going to see, like, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be there. Cook is going to catch touchdowns. I mean, obviously Mike Thomas. Like, I don't know. Drew Brees, obviously he's not going to get any rushing, but he still put up, like, 40 touchdowns and shocked the world a little bit.
I know I brought a Bridgewater. It was more of like a fun talking point. Is anyone drafting any of these guys, like, realistically? I know I said pre-show, I draft Ryan in a best ball. If he gets disrespected, I do that from time to time because I don't know why people forget he won an MVP and his weapons. I'll go there in a best ball, but in a regular full season, I'm probably not touching any of this.
Ninth round, Matt Ryan, yes, all day, every day. Otherwise, yeah. I'm fine to stay away from NFC South quarterbacks.
Why is there such a gap between like the Jared Goffs and Tom Brady?
Because this year with quarterbacks is interesting because you have the group that will draft Mahomes, Jackson, Murray, Dak, Wilson, Watson early. So the other people who are like, oh, you're going to do that? Well, let me wait and get whoever I want in the 14th. You know what I mean? Like, that skews the quarterback. Usually we have one or two quarterbacks, maybe like Aaron Rodgers goes in the first or second round for whatever reason. And then somebody who only drafts Seahawks players in your hometown league drafts Russell Wilson in the first round. And then nobody drafts a quarterback for 10 rounds. Now it's like 5-6 quarterbacks going in the first four rounds. That's a little unusual if we're looking back for the last couple of years.
I think the thing with Goff, I know I keep bringing up Goff, we're not talking about his division, but for where he's being drafted, has there ever been a thing where a quarterback was drafted consensus that low where his wide receivers no one was worried about? Like, Woods and Kupp continue to be drafted as if they're going to be great. If they're going to finish where you're hoping they are, Goff's going to be a lot better than everyone's expecting him to be. It's just either the wide receivers are coming down, he's coming up. You know, they're not staying where they are either way.
It could be Cousins maybe or Derek Carr with Amari Cooper and Crabtree. Cousins when he had Diggs and Adam Thielen. Those are the only ones that I can think of that had those type of weapons.
He didn't finish the season where he was drafted, though. He outperformed that. I'm just saying no one finishes. There's no two top wide receivers that finishes top two wide receivers and finish with a bottom-tier quarterback. Like, That shit doesn't happen.
In Tampa Bay last year.
What do you mean?
But Jameis finished third.
Great fantasy quarterback.
Oh, well, not if you're playing in like an actual league there. They give you like minus two for an interception. No, he finished
even with that, he was like the third best quarterback.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was great.
Oh yeah,
a total nightmare, but he's still good.
All right, then proven wrong. My bad.
Oh, I guess Baker, but that was more of an underperforming situation. He had a lot of weapons and still sucked.
Although his weapons kind of sucked.
Yeah, but like
mainly due to him, maybe. I would not call Landry and Odell Beckham two top people like Kupp and Woods.
I could make the argument.
That was a big disappointing hole of disappointment.
I'm like, that was my response to that one.
The Cleveland meh.
Like Cleveland Browns. When I found my dad cleaned out a closet, I found a NFL jersey. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did you find? He found a tight end from the like 2008 Cleveland Browns, and I'm like, whatever.
2008 tight end. I can't get it. Was that Kellen Winslow Jr.?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I don't know if it was 2008, but it was Kellen Winslow Jr. jersey. That's pretty amazing that you caught that. I didn't even say the right year it was, but that's exactly the jersey we find. It's somewhere home in a basement.
Gary Barnage. There's no other Browns tight end you would have bought a jersey for. I can promise you that.
But. Anyway, that has been our show. This was a fantastic one, and thank you all so much for joining me here in the chat and joining me here, Matt Williams and Nick Faber, as always.
We didn't even talk about Nick Foles opting out, for God's sakes.
We don't have to.
I mean, I'm just kidding.
No.
Continue on the exit.
Check out CSDFantasy.com for even more fantasy content. Check out CSD Fantasy's YouTube channel for one new YouTube video every day, focusing on running backs the upcoming week here. With Aaron Jones tomorrow, it was Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey earlier in the week. But signing off for the Fantasy Rabbit Hole is Nick Faber, Matt Williams, and Carl Dunger. See y'all next time.
Was the show, and I hope you enjoyed it.